Pizza Boy USA. He's the flying saucer innovation. Pizza Boy USA. He's getting ready now. Listen to that crowd. He's a Pizza Boy USA.
Carmen Harry, the beat, 720 WGN. Indeed, it is National Pizza Day. I think we're a little too excited about it being National Pizza Day overall. And I love pizza, probably my favorite food. I mean, I could eat it every single day, probably three times a day. Honestly, wake up. I could. I love pizza. By the way, and a lot of people who love pizza texting in, great show, Carmen Harry. Just picked up a large pan ground beef, onion, mushroom pizza from Pequod's.
Pequod's, good choice.
Yeah, out in Morton Grove. They're big fans of your show in there, which that is, thank you, Pequod's in Morton Grove. We appreciate it.
How about V&V Pizza in downtown Bartlett, thin crust with Italian beef and the Italian jardinera?
That's an aggressive choice, but one that I would certainly... once in a blue moon go with. And a lot of a pizza that you would not pick, Harry, Giorgio's. I love spinach and black olives. People that put pineapple on pizza, I don't think they should be allowed to eat pizza,
right,
personally.
My son hates it.
Hates it?
Hates pineapple on pizza.
I'm with you, Reggie, on that one. All right, let's get into Carmen, Harry, and the beat. And, Harry, I had one of the most exhilarating starts to a sports viewing day you can possibly have this morning.
You got to wake up with your fiance.
I did, but that's not what I'm talking about. I went to the Bulls game Wednesday night with Anthony Davis in town.
Yeah.
And then last...
Unibrow.
Last night, I made a specific point to be in my chair, to listen to Jason Benetti and Stacey King call the Bulls and the Brooklyn Nets and the debut of Otto Porter.
Benetti was awesome, and there he was today in East Lansing calling state.
Yeah, he's probably has a chance to do something in this business. He might do okay for himself.
Yeah, if only he were likable, though.
Right. Bad guy. So, those games were okay.
Okay? I mean, come on, that's one of the best Bulls games of the year.
Right. Moderately exciting. But I went to my niece's 5th and 6th grade basketball game this morning, which was a championship game, her school against the other school. Don't really know what the other school was. She plays for the old Pritzker school, right?
Okay.
5th and 6th grade basketball.
Their mascot are the Governors?
Right, the Governors. There you go. And so we walk in the gym. I get up this morning. I drive out to Highland Park. I pick up my 93-year-old father, drive Papa Fred down to the game.
That's great.
Whole family's going for the big game, right? So we walk in the game right at tip-off. There are no seats available in the gym. I mean, from just three rows full, the whole court, no seats. So we're standing in the corner. My dad got one seat next to his other son who saved him a seat. But so I'm standing in the corner, and I'm watching this game. All right, so we got a full gym. They are 4-minute quarters.
Okay.
All right, so we got a robust 16 minutes of action. Mm-hmm. Now the other team races out to a 4-0 lead. And I think the Pritzker school is in deep trouble.
Right?
But then I think late in the second quarter, in the third quarter, they rally back, they tie it at 4, and then they take the lead 6-4. All right?
Whoa. I mean, this is anybody's ball game.
Anybody's ball game. And the gym is full of parents who all care a ton about their kids, and this is a championship game, and people are into it. So it's 6-5 with 4 seconds to go. The Pritzker team is up, and the other team is on the free throw line for 2 free throws, I believe.
Okay.
Miss the first one, second free throw to tie the game. Off the back of the rim, ball's in the air, rebound to the Pritzker team. They've got the ball with 4 seconds to go. All they got to do is hold on to the ball. Game's over. But they start moving around.
Why?
Well, they are 5th and 6th graders, perhaps didn't know exactly what to do. And then they throw a pass, and the pass is intercepted at the free throw line. Nobody had made a shot from further, from far out all game. Aww. And the other team throws it in, 7-6, game over. So they lose at the horn. Now, there was 4 seconds to go. The ball, you know, it's there's a rebound, there's a dribble around, there was a pass. And so there's confusion as to whether or not she got the shot off in time. And so the officials are going to the scorer's table and the scorer's table.
Do they have replay in Highland Park for 5th and 6th grade girls?
This was over at Wells High School on Ashland.
Okay.
And so, no, they did not have replay. Unfortunately, and I didn't have my phone out I should have been taking video. That would have been very smart of me, but didn't have that.
Right.
And so they go to the scores table, and they're conferring. And they end up waving off the shot, saying that it came after 4 seconds.
And this from the home gym? This is the home team?
Neutral gym. So they take away the bucket, and my niece, the amazing Grace Carmen, and her team win 6-5. Now, I think they were right that time had expired. But I don't trust that the clock operator, because it was super exciting, the ball's on the goal, that they were watching both the clock and what was going on out there, that they had it right. And so, like, what do you do if you don't know? If the official didn't know, and I'm not sure that the clock operator knew. Maybe they thought they knew. So it's a championship game, the whole thing. What do you do in that moment? 312-981-7200 is the phone number. 312-981-7200. How should this have been ruled? In my mind, I would have made both teams. I would have gone participation trophy, both teams a champion, and walked off, because I don't think they knew.
Oh, I may vomit.
That's my take. I would have awarded the title to both.
If Rocky had won, if he had beaten Apollo Creed the first time, do you think Rocky Balboa would have been a great champion? He had to lose. You got to have a winner. You got to have a loser.
Yes, but I don't think you do. It's a 5th-6th grade game, and apparently I'm getting texts from upper personnel here. The ruling apparently was the shot didn't count. Because the pass, you can't, there's no press, and so they picked off.
Upper personnel knows a rule that exists for 5th and 6th grade girls basketball?
I'm getting texts from the parents right now that the ruling was, because you can't press, you can't steal the ball and the game was over. And that actually is fair and correct and done. But let's just take that out of the equation. If you really didn't know, and you could press. Well, I mean, what do you do there? Curtis, you look all. You're weighing both sides over there.
You know, yeah, I am weighing both sides. I feel for the team that if they did count it, because then
I mean, the gym went crazy when it went in. I mean,
exactly.
It was unbelievable. You had this sold out 5th and 6th grade game, and I mean, it was like it was more. I'm telling you, it was more exciting than any Bulls game I've watched all season long. I'll throw the Wildcats in there too. They've had a rough season.
How hard is that?
It was unbelievable. But they ended up waving it off. Can't press. I guess that's But what do you do, Harry?
Well, what I would do is I would go up to the two squads.
Yeah.
And I would say, hey, you guys, what do you think happened? Because there's always that one kid that's just honest. There's always that one kid that says, you know what, I didn't get the shot off in time, or you know what, they took the shot before the buzzer went off.
But do you really think kids would be all honest about that after the crowd goes wild?
After they make the shot? And none of them.
I do because I think that there's a beautiful innocence that exists for a kid, and at some point they lose it. And the ability for just to ask a question sometime, and Carmen, you know, you and Chelsea are about to have kids, but the ability just to ask a kid a question and get a direct answer is such a wonderful thing. 5th and 6th grade, so they're like what? They're like 10 and 11?
11 and 12.
11 and 12, so, you know, it's you might get one of those guys that says, hey, you know what, to tell you the truth, they did win, or you know what, our shot didn't go in. But here's my question: how crazy did your family was happy? The Carms were happy. Fred was happy. How crazy mad did the other families get?
I actually think that both sides of rooting for their children and the whole thing in the gym, I think actually everybody handled it completely professionally, and there wasn't any screaming at the officials. So I give kudos to all the parents that were at that game today who did not go nuts on the official. Hey, real quick here, Dan is a high school basketball ref. Dan, what would you do in that situation if you did not know?
Well, as a high school IHSA basketball official, it does happen. The scorekeeper does lose their focus and concentration. So the officials have to have definite knowledge. So one official is actually counting down, should peek up at the clock, and if there is a malfunction or whatever, they have an internal clock, and they got to use their best judgment.
Okay.
It does happen sometimes where you have these youth leagues and the poor scorekeeper just gets overwhelmed, and you just got to go with the two officials that are on the game and what they think of with their internal clock.
Okay, so this was one official, and I don't think he had the internal clock going. I highly doubt that he was doing that. So then what do you do?
Well, you fake it and you call the game. No, I'm joking. he probably used his best judgment, and maybe he conferred with the timekeeper, and they made their best judgment. There's, you know, you can't go in a time machine and go back. You just do your best judgment.
Right.
Dan, can I ask you, have you seen parents, whether it's, an uncle or a grandpa, a mom or a dad, have you seen adults, like, lose control and just go off on you or your contemporaries that are officiating a game?
Let me guess, Dan. The answer to that is yes.
100% yes. It's a real big topic in schools and park districts where there's a ton of reinforcement and constant messaging, but there are people that just don't control their emotion. If they start off with a very good intention, but their emotions take over, and sometimes, very rarely, we have to ask them to leave. We ask game management to step in instead of ourselves, and they have to be removed. But it is rare, but at the same time, it's very disturbing. And coaches, they have to help with the messaging, and the kids are usually 100% always good.
Yeah, my
it's
wife.
The parents that lose their marbles.
My wife has game management ask me to leave about two or three times a week.
Well, we have therapy for that too.
Yeah.
Dan, thanks for your contribution. Appreciate you.
All right, take care, bud.
Our pleasure, Dan. The high school basketball rep weighing in.
There have been physical, you know, altercations. Guys have assaulted officials at football games, at basketball games, at baseball games. It's insane. It's not worth it.
Of course not. And this was beautiful in that I think everybody handled themselves well. However, during the game, you know, this is fifth and sixth graders. People are yelling at the officials. I mean, Chelsea's fiance was yelling at the official today. I had a moment where I wanted to say, come
on. Your fiance was yelling at the officials?
She didn't like one of the calls.
I like that.
I mean,
good for Chelsea.
Well, okay, how many times are you allowed to yell at the official? One time, two times, three times, four times?
And
at what point am I supposed to step in and say, hey, leave the official alone?
Your niece, Grace.
Yes. Never a word. She's the greatest niece ever.
Okay, so she was not yelling.
No, and she got fouled a bunch and didn't get calls, and she was a professional 12-year-old doing her amazing job out there having fun. That's my whole point, by the way. There doesn't have to be a winner. Like, I know.
Yes, there does.
No, but
where do you live? There doesn't have to be a winner.
Well, if you don't know, if you really didn't know, and we're taking out the whole press thing, if you really didn't know, well, then how do you, I don't know how you award a winner. I don't know if it was because
you know, and I think Dan, our last caller, said it. You know, you need whatever way it's called, it has to be so clearly, you know, able to be reversed. You know, if there's any doubt at all, you should not reverse it. But
that's fair.
Right?
You have to know. If you don't know, then the shot counts. In my
head. Right.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Quick timeout. We'll move along from this. But it was one of the greatest basketball games I've ever witnessed. And congratulations.
Did Bobby Portis have 30 points in it?
It's a Bobby Portis return game tonight. Congratulations to Grace, the Pritzker team, and the other team. I'm sorry, I don't know their names. They were all awesome today.
Was it the Rauner team? Did the Pritzker team beat the Rauner team?
Rauner was. I didn't see Rauner in attendance, but. Rounders was a great movie. That's what I first thought of. Then I realized you're talking about Bruce. And
right.
Yeah. All right. Carmen Harry, this is The Beat, 720 WGN.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago sports spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Getting a lot of support for pineapple on pizza. People texting in. My niece via her father is texting in. People love pineapple on pizza. It's sacrilegious. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, Reggie's giving it a thumbs down.
Yeah. One text on sportsmanship from the 815. We go to our grandson's Special Olympics basketball games. In fact, his team won regional gold and are playing in the state championships in March. To watch the sportsmanship in these kids is terrific. No matter who or what team scores, they give high fives. And to see what some of these boys and girls can overcome to play is emotional and inspiring. I can feel myself getting emotional reading this. What's also great is no one ever gets discouraged, and everyone in the stands cheers for both teams. That is beautiful. Thank you for the text. And whether it's the Special Olympics or over at Wells High School today, I know people get all hot and bothered by this. No participation trophies. You're not. Listen, sometimes it's not all about winning and losing. I mean, I was watching the game today. I'm like thinking, how cool is it for all these kids to be out there in this environment and getting to compete, and their parents are in the stands, or maybe a friend's in this, is whatever. I mean, it's just an awesome learning experience, period, win and or lose.
I've done a lot of work with Special Olympics Chicago, and it is such a wonderful organization. They actually, you know, have an Olympics where kids go somewhere in the country and participate against other kids, and it's so exciting. You know, it's fabulous. It's fantastic competition. Sometimes the grown-ups can take a lesson from the kids.
No doubt. No doubt. All right, let's get into news, and then we'll have a little fun with the greatest Twitter account that's ever existed at BP Portis time. All right, it's Carmen Harry. It's the Beat 720 WGN.
Do you guys kind of wear that as, you know, we're the Chicago Bulls, we should be a major player, and we're not? I mean, is that embarrassing? Front office?
No, not at this time. We're trying to get there. We were part of the deal years ago when LeBron and those guys were out. We didn't get him, but we were part of that process then. Okay, we were in the game, as New York will be in the game, I'm sure, this summer. Is it a black eye? No. I don't consider it that. That's our aspiration. We've understood that the process we're in right now is hoping to get to that point.
Uncomfortable times for John Paxson, Bulls president, Gar Forman and company. You can hear it in his voice there, just trying to defend that the Bulls are indeed not embarrassed, and there's nothing wrong that the marquee players that are going to be available this offseason are just flat out not interested in coming to Chicago. Carmen Harry on the Beat, 720 WGN. I actually am borderline backing Pax right now, which I know is not the most popular opinion in town, but, like, look, he's not wrong. They're not coming here. Now, if you want to blame him and Gar for the reason why they're not coming here, okay, you can do that. But the fact of the matter is that basketball players would rather play in Los Angeles, and they would rather play in New York. That's not a slight on Chicago, but they'd rather do that. It's kind of upsetting to me that you would rather pick New York. That franchise could not be run worse. And the Bulls do have some work to do in how they're presenting themselves. As the way that Fred Hoiberg left and Jim Boylan's come in, I would call that less than ideal, Harry. But and before that with Tibbs, and before that with Vinny, and before that with Scott Skiles, all that stuff. However, I personally don't believe that players don't want to come to Chicago. Players want to go where they're going to play, where they're going to get paid, and where they'll have a chance to win third. Free agents have come here before. They'll come here down the line, but it doesn't seem like the Bulls are remotely in the game for Kevin Durant or even the Tobias Harrises of the world. At any rate.
Yes, but we got Wayne Selden Jr., Jayhawk. So I think what's aggravating for me is that just it's become, I mean, there's no way that the Reinsdorfs are happy. There's no way that the Reinsdorfs are happy. But the same thing happened when Michael retired. In 1999, the Bulls had, you know, this horrible record, and they led the league in attendance. They are second in the league in attendance this year.
That's true.
They could put your niece out there, Grace, with her team, and they would still get, you know, the second largest crowd in the country.
That's the perception, that it doesn't matter what they do, that Bulls fans are going to continue to show up and pay the prices that Bulls tickets cost, which are not cheap.
Because it's an event, and the tickets were hard to get forever.
Right, and whatever, somehow, some way, Michael Jordan's presence over at 1901 West Madison continues to live, that it's a thing. And I love going to Bulls games. I love covering Bulls mm-hmm. games. This is obvious. If you've ever listened to me on the radio, everybody knows that. However, it is not a good product right now. It's just not. And you know, I still enjoy going out there to a point, but it's just there's not a whole lot to see here.
And I would hope they would trade. I would hope that the, you know, I would have hoped that they would have traded more than they did. To me, you know, I mean, I wish they'd gotten more.
Yeah, but okay. I mean, who would you want them to deal? That's fine. You want to punt on Chris Dunn right now?
No, not Dunn. But could you got something for Lopez?
Okay, but you're not going to get anything for Robin Lopez. You're not.
Okay, Holiday?
They traded Holiday and got second round picks.
So couldn't you have gotten more for Holiday?
I don't think you could. He's an average at best, a mediocre player.
So they've got you know, four guys.
I mean, I would have been fine, by the way, if they punted on Chris Dunn. I'm sorry, I'm watching Chris Dunn play basketball. That is not a starting point guard in the NBA. I don't think he ever will be.
So they got Dunn, Levine, Markkanen, and Wendell Carter Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else that's got a chance to be big? And you probably don't even think that any of those guys, you know, Levine and Markkanen are.
I think that, look, it's one game with Otto Porter. He played well last night. Has a chance. It's a former lottery pick, number 3 overall, who can shoot it. And so I think that's a halfway decent part, although I wouldn't be surprised at some point if the Bulls move him somewhere. You know, people that I've talked to around the league, they think that that's going to be a trade piece for him. You know, and we teased this segment with Bobby Portis, who is unbelievable on Twitter right now.
Yes. He had thoughts as to why he laughed. He laughed at why the Bulls said that they traded him.
Yeah, well, he had 33 points in his final game as a Bull. Mm-hmm. He shows up in Washington, seemingly bummed out that he got traded. He has 30 points last night. Now, they're playing the Cavaliers, so take that for what it's worth. But listen, the dude checked into the game with 5:31 to go in the first quarter, okay? Bobby Portis comes in. He has a turnover a minute later, but then after that, the guy just goes bananas. Bobby Portis, 2-point shot, good. 3:42 left in the quarter. 3:19 to go in the quarter. Bobby Portis coming on down. Now he's 2-for-2 after a 25-foot three-pointer. Bobby Portis makes a 17-foot jumper. 2:43 left in the quarter, you know, 38 seconds later. Now he's not done. Bobby Portis grabs an offensive rebound. Bobby Portis makes a 27-foot three-pointer. I mean, you got to go check the highlights on YouTube. Bobby Portis went absolutely nuts last night. And his Twitter, he's flat out taunting the Bulls. And, you know, somebody said, but Paxson said he's just a backup big man that's not worth the money, which is not exactly what John Paxson said. And then Portis retweets it and says, LMAO, laugh my ass off. Right. The thing about Bobby is, like, that dude actually really wanted to be here. So, and he was kind of like the heart and soul of the team. It's a little bit off to me that you don't want that guy in your squad.
Yeah, how about Trump commented on Bobby Portis after the game?
Yeah, what
he said, I've got many friends like Bobby Portis.
Oh, really?
Yes, yeah, he said, I'm very popular with Bobby Portis' friends.
Oh, okay.
How funny is it that the two guys that were involved in the brouhaha last year both found new homes, you know, at the same time? And how smart do the Bucks look to get Nico?
So, I'm at the game Wednesday night, right?
Yeah.
It's Bulls, Pelicans, Nico's in the building, not playing. And it's the first time I've seen a fresh-faced Nico. No mustache. He looks like he's 10 years old. But assistant coach David Wesley of the Pelicans is walking by him in the tunnel after the game. He says, he walks up to Nico. It's like, hey, you miss this? And Nico looks at him. He's like, no. Hell no. And he's like, you don't miss the city? He's like, oh, yeah, the city. I miss the city. Like, Wesley wasn't asking him to torch the Bulls. He was just asking if he missed Chicago and, like, the food, like the Giordano's was out there. And Nico wanted to jump in because, you know, Portis gets traded, Parker's out of the, you know, and he just, no, hell no. So there is, like, a, you know, players there's some upset players out against the Bulls. Nico's one of them.
I heard from a friend that was at a Bulls game on their recent trip out west, and he said he's never seen the Bulls people more down. Not the team, the Bulls people. So Bobby Portis became a first in the NBA to do something, Carm.
Tell us, Harry.
He is the first guy in NBA history to have at least 30 points in his last game for a team and follow it up with at least 30 points in his first game for his new team.
How about that?
I mean, you'd have 500 guesses and you wouldn't say Bobby Portis.
Right.
Bobby Portis is your answer. 10 years from now, when you're in a bar doing trivia, you think of your buddies Carmen Harry, and you say, hey, who's the only guy to ever have at least 30 points in his last game for his old team and his first game for his new team?
I'll give you another one. February 9th, that's today.
Yes, it is.
Last year, Jimmy Butler, Taj Gibson, come back to Chicago. First time since being traded by the Bulls to Minnesota.
Is
right?
that the OT game?
Yeah, I don't remember the game, but that sounds possible. And then tonight, February 9th, 2019, Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker coming back to Chicago.
That's pretty cool.
So,
how many new guys are on the Bulls from when the season started?
Let's think about that. A lot. And guys' names that I don't even know how to pronounce. I don't know how Benetti did it last night. You got, who's the new guy? What's his
name? LaWoo.
Yeah, him.
LaWoo.
LaWoo. I'm listening closely to how people say his name. Curtis, why don't you give it a shot at it there? You're the new producer on the show. I don't even want to give it a...
I don't even know if I could attempt it.
Timothy LaWoo Cinnabon.
Cinnabon's out there. He looks okay to me. He hit some shots. At least he did Wednesday night.
He's French.
Did you see him last night? I'm assuming you didn't watch the game like everybody else in Chicago. I watched it.
I would have watched it, but the Hurricanes and the Rangers were knotted at a scoreless tie in the third period, and they were honoring the 94 Rangers.
Right. I saw Mark Messier. It was very emotional going back to the Garden. Mm-hmm. So, Timothy, what's his name?
LaWoo.
LaWoo had nothing but open court in front of him. He traveled, and then they didn't call it, and then he went for the dunk, and he missed it. And I was very proud of Casey Johnson of the Tribune tweeting, LaWoo traveled and missed dunk. It was...
Hey, Chuck and Bill Swirsky in Wennington had a great idea. On the back of his jersey, just put TLC.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
I love it. Yeah, I love it. But it's very frustrating to be a Bulls fan. There's no other team in the league I'm going to cheer for. I'm going to cheer for the Bulls. They got to get through this, and it's rough watching these, you know, all these other teams that seem like they are going to regenerate a lot quicker than the Bulls will.
And everything I said about Bobby Portis, like just an enjoyable guy, passionate dude. But I listen, Otto Porter Jr. I think a higher ceiling than Bobby, so we'll see.
Yes, but he's like $28 million to keep. I mean, right. He's a lot of bread, Fred.
He is a lot of bread, Fred. But Bulls can afford it with their salary cap, and it does take them out of
how about the other
marquee free agents.
How about the other tenant in the United Center?
What's that? Six in a row?
Cool, six in a row, and they look spectacular.
Well, actually, I want to ask you a question about that, Harry. Coming on back here, so
let's talk a little Blackhawks. Light them up, Hawks fans. 312-981-7200. The Blackhawks are headed to the playoffs.
Is it all because of Harry Tynowitz? We'll explain that concept.
What?
Yep. Coming on back. 720 WGN.
Passes on the left wing. Taves over the Canuck line. Taves down to the left wing corner. Reverses directions, carries back through the high slot. Here's Taves, a burst of speed to the right circle, then a push and scores! Magnificent play made by the captain, Jonathan Taves! An overtime game-winning goal! The Hawks 4 and the Canucks 3 in overtime! What a win for the Hawks!
John Weideman, 720 WGN, six in a row for your red-hot Chicago Blackhawks.
And seven in a row by this time tomorrow.
Got the Red Wings, 2 o'clock puck drop right here, 720 WGN at the United Center. Harry, you going out there?
I would love to, but my favorite neighbor is going to Florida for a couple months. He's having a little soiree tomorrow, so I'm going to go over to Bob and Pat's house.
Bob and Pat are greater than the Hawks? What the hell?
No, I didn't say that. Well, I mean, I love Bob and Pat. He's the captain of the village.
No, I get it. Bob and Pat, that's huge. Friends are very important in life. I'm glad you have some, Harry. Congratulations.
Thank you. One day, you too can have friends.
I'm working on that one.
There is no team that I enjoy beating more as a Blackhawks fan than the Detroit Red Wings. Go ahead and put them in the other conference. Put them, you know, in a different division. We only play them twice a year now. There's no team for me that is more fun. You know, there's a handful of teams I love to beat. The Packers the most. I love beating the Packers. I love beating the Mets, the Cardinals. I love beating the Knicks, the Pistons, and the Red Wings. They're, you know, one of the top teams to beat.
So let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
If we rewind back to January the 17th, Hawks lose to the Rangers at Madison Square Garden 4-3.
Yeah, they could have won that game.
And it was their fifth loss in a row, and four of those five, they all lost 4-3. Two in overtime to Vegas and to Nashville, and then a couple in regulation to the Rangers and the Calgary Flames. They lost five in a row.
Right, Vegas game, they had a two-goal lead.
Yeah, and they had the lowest points in the league at that point. And then they went on a winning streak. Six in a row now. Did Harry Tynowitz, Mr. Optimism, did you see this coming at all? Because I don't think anyone did.
To be honest, and I'm as transparent as anybody on the radio, no, I didn't see it coming. And I was very frustrated, and I thought they were going to be trading guys. They asked Brent Seabrook to waive his no-trade clause. He said no. And now look at them.
Right.
I mean, they're hot and heavy, man. They are breathing on. The Blues are annoyingly good, but the Wild are falling apart, and the Ducks. I mean, can you believe what's happening with the Ducks?
I can't. I cannot believe what's happening with the Ducks. What's happening with the Ducks?
They've lost 18 of 20.
Oh, my God.
And they're still ahead of the Hawks. But, I mean, they're right there with the Hawks. I mean, the Hawks have gone from not even in the picture. Like, when the national games show the top teams in the Western Conference, the Hawks weren't even in it. And now they're right there. The Hawks are going to make the playoffs. And Colin Delia has been fantastic. Cam Ward has turned into the player that he was in his heyday with the Hurricanes. And we see 50, Corey Crawford back on the ice. So you got to feel pretty good. A couple of moves by Stan Bowman have really paid off here for the Hawks.
So Harry's saying they're going to make the playoffs, even though they're closer to the bottom of...
So what?
Okay, I like your optimism. I get it. And you are a leader. And when you right now the Hawks have 53 points, 22, 24, and 9.
That's incredible. They're only two games under 500.
Yeah. The St. Louis Blues are the second wildcard team right now in the Western Conference with 57 points, 26, 22, and 5. So the Hawks have to climb over the Arizona Coyotes and Edmonton Oilers, both with 53. The Colorado Avalanche with 54. And the Vancouver Canucks with 55. Harry, make your best reasoning, your best argument as to why you think, with the trade deadline coming up here February the 25th, if you think they're going to make the playoffs, tell me why, and then tell me and tell Blackhawks fans why you think or don't think they should try to add on to this roster to A, get in the playoffs, and B, try to do something when they get there.
The power play. I'm just going to tell you that it could not be more simpler. The power play has been electric. They scored two power play goals again Thursday night. They've had more, you know, multiple power play goal games in the last, like, couple weeks than they've had the entire year. Their power play is the hottest power play in the National Hockey League. They also have taken, you know, I call it like I see it, they've taken some really stupid penalties. I mean, they've taken some very, very, and Chris Bowden, who does a great job on the pre and the post game, Bowden tweets, he was talking about the other night. I mean, they cannot keep taking these dumb penalties. I believe that they will stop taking the dumb penalties. I believe this power play action that we're seeing is going to continue. And, you know, Jeremy Colleton, who everybody was just like, well, what the hell is this guy doing here? He's had a chance now to, you know, get his system in place, and the Hawks are reacting. And he put Artem Anisimov, one of the best skill guys on the team, on the fourth line. Moved Kruger up to the third line. I know you talked about that move a lot.
That was huge.
Yeah. But I think the power play, it will continue to be this strong. The stupid penalties will cease, and the goaltending with Crawford coming back and the other two guys looking great. I mean, Colin Delia. So
all right.
Great.
All right, I'm going to stop you there. Let me just rewind back to what I think is the key to the season.
Yes.
You now, Harry Tynowitz, the Blackhawks have empowered you to do Blackhawks watch parties, is that right?
Yes, they're Gene Honda's baby, the great Gene Honda. When Gene is doing a game or he is has another commitment, I step in and I do these Blackhawk watch parties.
Okay, and your first one that you did was Tuesday, December the 18th?
The Friday the 14th against Winnipeg.
Oh, Friday the 14th against Winnipeg.
Yes.
Okay, so the Blackhawks at that time before that game were 10-18-5. Now, that night they lost in overtime to Winnipeg despite your presence.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do the math, they were 10-18-5 at that point. With Harry Tynowitz, they are 12-6-4. So since Tynowitz became a part of the organization, the organization, is that how they say it? Right?
Organization.
Right. Since
take off, hoser.
Since John McDonough, who's made a zillion brilliant moves, along with Jay Blanc, along with Pete Hassan, along with Stan Bowman. Let's throw everybody in there.
Adam Rogowin.
Let's get everybody in there. A million brilliant moves, but bringing you into the fold.
That was it.
12-6-4.
And for you youngsters out there, this is what happens if you just hang out outside a guy's house.
So the whole point of this is hire Harry, 720 WGN.
All right, give it a shot.
Your
feet, man. Yeah,
I don't like it.
Need more keys.
Don't we?
Yeah.
A little soft, like your baseball team.
Come to New York and we'll give you a rose life.
WGN. It's National Pizza Day. Carmen Harry. This is The Beat. 1 hour to go here. Amy Guth warming up in the bullpen. We all know that Chicago is superior to New York in most every single way. However, I will say this, Harry Tynowitz, before we bring on an officer from the Chicago Police Department and an officer from the New York Police Department to argue Chicago versus New York pizza. I will say this to my beloved city, home of the greatest player to ever play anything in Michael Jordan.
You love Michael Jordan.
Home to the greatest arena that ever existed in Chicago Stadium. Home to two of the greatest baseball parks in the history of the world, the Old Comiskey Park and Wrigley Field. Just iconic.
The greatest gangsters ever. Al Capone, right here.
Right. But when I go to New York and I just eat the food, a cheeseburger, I know you don't agree and you're already looking sick at me, a cheeseburger in New York is just better than the one you get in Chicago. You go to J.G. Mellon, it's unbelievable. It's just better. I'm just telling you. The BLT somehow in New York is better. The bagels are just better. I don't know if it's all
right.
But however,
if the cops were here right now, they would do a drug test on you.
There's something about New York, the bodega you walk into. They just make an incredible egg and cheese and bacon sandwich. However, when it comes to pizza, New York style versus Chicago style, there is no comparison. Chicago is king.
And because today is National Pizza Day, and because the New York police force tweeted that out early this morning, six New York cops saying that the pizza, the stuffed pizza is too soft like our baseball team, Carmen and I have invited two guys on the show that you need to meet.
Well, let's welcome in New York Officer Gru. Thank you for taking time. Appreciate this. I know your passion is strong. Welcome to the show.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
And Chicago Police Department Sam. Harry, is this a friend of yours? You know,
yes, I've known Sam for a long time. Sam, 26 years on the force, recently retired. They gave him a big party. Sam, thank you for all you've done for the city, and thanks for joining Carmen and I on WGN Radio.
Harry, glad to be with you today. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. So I think because Officer Gru, by the way, isn't that the bad guy's name in the Minion movie?
Never saw that movie.
Yes.
That's the dad.
Yes. Because you're the visiting team, I think you should go first. Tell us why New York-style pizza is better than Chicago-style.
Well, Gru is spelled G-R-O-O. I haven't seen the movie, but I'm pretty sure it's in the coming attractions. It's G R U in the movie, so that's one big difference there. You know, let me preface this by saying that I am somewhat offended by the comparison between New York pizza and Chicago pizza.
Go ahead.
And let me just tell you why, because what you have there, it's not pizza. What we have is pizza. What Chicago has, and I've lived there for 2 years, and I've had pizza in Chicago maybe three or four times. And the reason why is not because it's not good, or I would say what you guys call pizza, is because it takes so damn long to get it. So I'm in New York. I'm like, hey, can I have a slice of pizza? Boom, boom. I'm in and out in 3 minutes. Right? And then I eat it as I walk.
Yeah, but so
or I could sit down. You know, I gotta wait 45. I gotta wait 45 minutes to an hour, and I eat it with a knife and fork. That's not pizza. I can't even. I don't even why. I don't even understand why I'm wasting my time with this discussion.
So I don't know if that's a great argument there, Officer Gru, because you know just because of time of. I mean, you could in theory walk into numerous Chicago Pizza, the actual franchise itself. You can walk in and get a slice there, and it's ready for you, a deep dish for you. What do you think about that, there, Officer Gru?
I really don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about?
Okay, Sam, 26 years on the force, Chicago style pizza. Why is it better than New York style pie?
Carrie, pizza in Chicago, it's a meal. It brings people together. It's fun. It's good. It defines people's neighborhoods, which, you know, Chicago has great neighborhoods. The suburban pizza is fantastic. You know, if I wanted to fold something, Harry, like you got to fold a piece of pizza in New York, I'd go fold some towels for my wife. I want something we could eat. I want something that's tangible in my hands, and it tastes so good that you just keep going back for it. So that's why Chicago pizza is so much better than New York.
Gru, your thoughts on this, officer?
It's fun and it's real. Really compelling arguments for pizza. There's nothing more fun than having a slice of pizza. I mean, that's what the most popular food at kids' birthday parties is pizza. Okay, but it's a slice of pizza, and they fold it and eat it, and it's quick. There's nothing quick and easy. I mean, it's so the Chicago whatever you call it casserole. Actually, as a matter of fact, when Mark and I dined at one of these Chicago pizza places, he even said, it's a casserole. It's a casserole. Officer Sam said it himself. It's a meal. Like, it's a big thing.
It's great.
It could be anything in New York. It could be a big meal. It could be a quick meal. Either way, it's pizza. Chicago, it's messy. You can't sit down and watch a game and eat Chicago pizza. You need a plate. You need a fork and knife. You need a ton of napkins, because I've never eaten Chicago pizza that doesn't I can't even think of the word.
Hold on, officer.
It doesn't leak. It goes all over the place.
Yeah, but don't you once you do the fold, doesn't that grease come flying down that thing and you're in trouble? I mean,
No. Not if you do it correctly, and you have a napkin in your hand, and it's not a big enough problem. I mean, look, I've never done this before, but I've seen some people do it. A friend of mine named Cliff, who the first time I ever seen it, he takes a napkin and he dabs the entire slice with the napkin to get all the oil off. Now, I've never done that personally, but that's not really a problem. That's something that outsiders think could be a problem.
I want to tell you, there's tons of people that eat Chicago-style pizza and watch the game. And you have, your politician is Trump, ours is Obama. Okay, so Sammy, Sam,
yes, sir. Yes,
you know, so I know that there have been many a time when, and this happens in New York too. People appreciate you guys. People appreciate cops who put their lives on the line every day to protect us. No matter what, they protect us.
We love both of you.
And we love both of you. We love all cops, all firefighters. But I'm sure that there are times when you are walking by a pizza place and they say, have you got time for a slice? And however long it takes, it's worth it, because life gets better with that Chicago deep dish, doesn't it, Sam?
Why is everybody in such a hurry in New York? Slow down and enjoy yourself. That's all you're talking about is how fast you get a piece of pizza. Yeah, you sit down and you enjoy it. So sometimes if it's a stuffed pizza, yeah, you got to cut it up and enjoy it and have fun with it and have the fun with the people you're with. But otherwise, yeah, you can walk past a pizza place here and get a quick slice of pizza. But it's not. It doesn't have to be fast. You just got to have a great piece of slice, thick, thin pan. however you like it. Vegetables, no vegetables, meat, sausage, whatever.
Hey, we got a bunch of texts coming in. You're making great points there, Officer Sam. If you have to fold a slice, it's no longer pizza. It's a calzone from the 870. New York pizza is the equivalent of the Philly cheesesteak to the Chicago Italian beef from the 630.
That is so good.
Chicago pizza, thin and pan equals Jordan. New York pizza equals LeBron. That's brilliant from U773.
Look. You know that Michael Jordan was born in Brooklyn. You know that.
So, and he got out.
But he made his mark in Chicago.
That's a good point, though.
Officer Gru of the NYPD, are you married, sir?
I am.
And did you marry
your wife? 8 months, 2 days ago.
Okay, did you marry your wife the night you met her?
No.
So I guess some things are worth the wait, huh?
That was such a stretch. Yeah. Good God.
You're comparing relationships and a meal.
I'm saying that 20 years from now, which one do you think will mean more to you?
I love food, but I hope my marriage.
Good job.
I don't really understand the comparison there.
You're saying why would people wait an hour for pizza? First of all,
I'm saying you don't wait an hour for pizza. Pizza is not something you wait an hour for. If you're waiting an hour for pizza, you're never going back to that restaurant. But in Chicago,
I don't know about that, officer.
That's how it works.
That just means they're selling a heck of a lot of pizza and it's worth the wait.
What isn't it? Isn't it John's Pizza, Officer Gru, in Soho or somewhere? There's a line down the street for it. People in New York, they love to wait for that pizza. I believe.
They wait to get to order it and have it in 3 minutes. Everybody likes it, so they'll wait online for it. However, they're not going to wait an hour for the order.
Hey, you can call any of these places. You can go there and order it before you get your table. You can call it and have it ready, so by the time you sit down, you're waiting 3 minutes.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get anywhere. Go ahead.
Yeah, doesn't that defeat the purpose, really? let's call an hour ahead so we don't have to wait. That's part of the fun of dining out.
It's a good spur of the moment. He's got a point there, Harry.
I don't know. I mean, do you spend a lot of time? I'm trying to get this right now, and I don't mean anything rude, but Officer Gru, do you spend a lot of time with people that are friends of ours?
Well, I live in New York. How would I do that?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, I think that in Chicago, there are many people that enjoy getting together and indulging. And it's not about the time, it's about the taste.
Ah.
Chicago pizza is 25 times better than New York pie.
So you're saying that Chicago people are just more real people in general?
Yes.
Taking a whole shot at the city now. I see what
Great
you're doing.
Great point.
Thank you, Officer Sam.
Okay. I mean, well, you don't have to have pizza to eat. There are many other options. There are many other types of food to sit down and have.
Name one.
And have a dish. Well, we'll stick with the Italian. I mean, you got one of the greatest, maybe the greatest restaurant in history, and that's Carmine's. In New York, they got a couple places. A lot of movies are filmed there. I've eaten there a couple times. It's as good of an Italian restaurant as you'll find anywhere in the world. You just did Peter Luger's restaurant. I think the New York Times just did a special on Peter Luger's, one of the longest standing steakhouses in the country.
Isn't Peter Luger's the place that has the posters of what to do if somebody's having a heart attack?
You know, I've only been lucky to eat there two times in my life, one in Brooklyn and the other in Great Neck. And I will say that I was too young to really recognize what was going on around me. I was too excited to have the steak, so I can't confirm what you said.
Sam, 26 years in the force, where are some of your favorite pizza places to go?
Well, look, Blue Bell Maddie's obviously is a staple in Chicago. There's so many other ones in the neighborhoods that are just outstanding. So it just depends where you're at the time. Beggar's Pizza down in Southside Chicago is great. Phil's in the Edison Park area. Dino's, all the small mom and pop places are just fantastic. And they don't take an hour to get a pizza. You can call up and it'll be ready in 15, 20 minutes. We're near 2019. They got fast ovens. So, it takes a little time, but you know what? It takes time to get everything right.
Gentlemen, let's do this again on National Hot Dog Day.
Let me add one more thing. I'm sorry. I appreciate the time. I just have to. When you, like, Papa John's, Domino's, is there any place in America or the world where you can order a pizza that looks like Chicago pizza?
What's the point?
I don't really know. I just thought you guys would pick up on that.
How long have you been on the force in New York, Officer Gru?
About 15 years.
And have you ever made an arrest inside a New York pizza place?
Well, I'm not really supposed to discuss that publicly.
Okay.
But let's just say that crime knows no bounds.
Hey, Harry, maybe you arrested somebody in New York pizza place for speeding.
Officer Gru, Officer Sam, you both are awesome. We appreciate the conversation. I don't think we got anywhere, but it was a fun conversation nonetheless. And thank you for defending your territory.
And we have a lovely parting gift for you guys.
Which is, of course, a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations. Order online, which you can do, Officer Gru. They'll ship it to you online at loumalnati's.com. Everybody have some pizza for dinner.
Maybe. You know what? Maybe I'll call right now the next time in Chicago. It'll be ready by the time I get there.
That's a shot.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
All right.
Yeah.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Our pizza's still like 1/4 the price of theirs.
That's a...
Right.
Well, that's true.
It's expensive. It's not cheap, but yeah. I'm just saying, New York, they like to...
Overcharge, right?
Overcharge.
It's a little more expensive out there. All right, quick timeout, 720 WGN. The Saints. Text line, I think the New York Police Department shouldn't have the right to dish Chicago pizza when they charge $9,000 for a gallon of gas. It's a little more expensive in New York. Carmen Harry, The Beat, 720 WGN. Thank you again to Officer Gru and Officer Sam, which, judging by the text line, seems like in conversation that people enjoyed. So thank you to one and all. And, we didn't really solve anything there. But I'll be honest again, Harry. New York-style pizza. I would prefer, at the end of the day, I'm a Chicago guy, but I love New York pizza. I'm not going to lie to you.
I don't know why it's a big deal that you fold the wedge in half.
Me neither.
We did it all the time, and I grew up in New York.
I mean, I think New York pizza is delicious, flat-out delicious, Chicago's better.
And they don't have deep dish, but they do have Sicilian.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. But right. And I'm not knocking New York style pizza. I'm just saying that Chicago style pizza is 100 times better. The deep dish pizza, and I love using a fork and knife for pizza. It lasts longer. I hate eating like a third of a pizza and being starved. You can have two pieces of deep dish and you're full.
Yeah, but that's the beauty of the thin crust pizza. You get your own pizza and you eat the whole thing. There's
Reggie, we got to call and get a pizza. We got to get one, pick one up for on the way home.
Harry's got a game. We're going to play it after the 6:30 news, 720 WGN.
Now, what do you want?
I want the throne.
Hey, you, the tuna.
Y'all sitting up here comfortable. Must feel good. It's about 2 billion people all over the world that looks like us. But their lives are a lot harder. Wakanda has the tools to liberate them all.
Yeah, sure. Carmen Harry, WGN Radio. Carm loves to play the games. Carm, if you could pick any topic, any subject to play a game. What is your favorite thing in the entire world to talk about?
So it's Harry game time. 312-981-7200. How many contestants do we need?
We need three. One will be an alternate in case one of the two playing drops out.
Okay, so we need three contestants. What would be my favorite game to play?
If your favorite topic in the world, if you could talk about anything, what would you like to talk about? Who would you like to talk about?
Well, if we're going who, then yes. you're definitely talking about the greatest player to ever play anything.
Well, guess what, Carm?
What?
Today is the actor Michael B. Jordan's birthday.
Oh, God.
He is the star of Black Panther. He is also the star of Creed and Creed 2, and in honor of Michael B. Jordan, we are playing the Michael Jordan's game.
The Michael Jordan's game.
Every question is either about Michael B. Jordan or Michael Jordan.
I see. That's interesting. So, and we're going to have two contestants here?
Two contestants. They can each use you as a lifeline, Carm.
Okay.
They can each use you multiple times as a lifeline. They will have five questions each, plus a tiebreaker. You cannot be used on the tiebreaker.
I talked to Richard Roper over at FanSided this week. And so I was watching all the Oscar movies that I hadn't seen. And I watched Black Panther. By the way, I had a toe procedure on Wednesday.
Yeah, how is your toe?
It's awful, and we don't have time to talk about it right now. But the point being here, Harry, is that I watched Michael B. Jordan in Black Panther, and that movie was flat out awful for me. I know that some people love the superhero X-Man, whatever. I thought it was terrible. I've talked to a lot of people; they loved that movie. But just so you know, I did see Black Panther. I want that on the record here.
It was okay. I haven't seen that, but I saw him in Creed.
Yeah,
he's great in Creed.
I haven't seen Creed. Heard it was great. I watched Black Klansman, which might Spike Lee's going to get Best Director
he's
for.
He's not in that, by the way.
Right, he's a director. I thought it was like, I don't know, at best one of the middle of the road movies for him. But he's going to win because he's never won, which for whatever reason he was never nominated for Do the Right Thing. But all right, so it's the Michael Jordan game.
The Michael Jordan's game.
The Michael Jordan's game. Let's bring in Scott in Chicago. Scott, welcome to WGN. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Excellent. Welcome to the show. Are you ready for the Michael Jordan game?
Yeah, sure, I think.
All right, okay.
What's lifeline mean? What is that? How does that work?
So this is the way. Let's meet the other contestant, first of all.
All right, let me bring in John in Decatur. You ready to take down Scott, John?
I'm ready to take him down. I'm Irish and Shawnee. Let's go, baby.
Okay, so here's the way this works, guys. You're each going to get five questions. They're either about Michael B. Jordan, the actor who turns 32 today, or the greatest player in the history of sports, Michael Jordan.
Well said.
Who is Carm's idol. In fact, the two of them, really, they have a lot in common. Like, for example, they'll both, in a restaurant, they'll both use the men's room. So you guys can each go to Carm twice as a lifeline for Michael Jordan questions, and you can also use him as a lifeline once for Michael B. Jordan questions.
Can we just have Jordan as a topic every week? Why do we have to sparse it out so much?
Okay, so our contestants again are...
We got Scott in Chicago and John in Decatur.
Okay, so please do not answer the other guy's question or they can get credit for the points. Got it?
Got it.
Okay, so Scott, you are up first. Good luck to you in the Michael Jordan's game. On April 20th, 1986, Michael scored 63 in a double overtime playoff game. A two-part question. In what stadium was that game played when Michael Jordan scored 63 points on a Sunday afternoon? And the three-point play is, did the Bulls win or lose that game?
They lost that game. It was against Boston. And, God, was it in the Garden? I'm going to say it was in the Garden.
You are correct, sir.
Now, what kind of question is that? That's the easiest question ever. Come on, man. 135, 131. If you had thrown...
Carm, the first step is admitting, hey, I might have a problem.
Well, I do, but, I mean, come on. I mean, who was the starting point guard in that game? Kyle Macy. Who else was in the lineup? Orlando Woolridge, Charles Oakley, Gene Banks. I mean, these things, come on.
What was Gene Banks' nickname?
Gino.
Tinkerbell.
I love Gene Banks. Where did he go to college?
Duke.
Very good. All right, move along.
Okay, so that was the point for Scott.
Scott is on the board
with
one.
John in Decatur, your turn. Ready, John?
Let's go.
Okay. When if you hated that question, Carm, you're going to be disgusted by that one, by this one. When Michael Jordan came out of retirement, we'll call it retirement.
What are you going to say? Where do you go to college?
He wore what number? What number did Michael Jordan wear when he came out of retirement?
I need a lifeline.
Are you serious?
And yes. Then the second half of the question will be, as a three-point play, when his uniform couldn't be found one night in Orlando for just one game, what was the only other number that Jordan wore?
So, I need my second lifeline.
No, that counts as one. It's one question, so it's one lifeline.
All right,
so,
John,
Carm, okay. We're looking for what number did Jordan...
Yeah. John, I'm embarrassed for you, but I'll answer the question. 45 was what he wore when he came back.
Doesn't that be rude to our listeners?
I love John, but I'm just a little embarrassed that he doesn't know this. Everybody should
Larry
know this.
Larry Bird was the greatest player.
Easy. Get John off the line. 45 was what he wore when he came back. He switched back to 23 when he had a bad game in game one against the Orlando Magic, and Nick Anderson said that 45 doesn't play 23. John Ligomanowski, outstanding Bulls equipment guy, put the 23 in his locker alongside the 45, and then he wore 23, and that was the end of 45. The number that he didn't wear or only wore once, he also wore against the Orlando Magic. His jersey was stolen.
This guy's awesome. He's on my team forever.
And he wore number 12. But what you're not mentioning, Harry, of course, is that the number that he wore in the Olympics was number 9, which he wore in both the 1984 and 1992 Olympics. Let's continue on with question two.
Okay, so, hold on. He's got to decide if he wants to go that.
Oh, yeah.
Can I have that guy on my team?
Do you want to go with Carm's answer? 45 is the number he came back with, and 12 is the number he wore once.
I'm afraid to, because I told him Larry Bird was the greatest player, but I'm going to go with him. I trust him.
Okay, well, you are correct. We are
Bird was great, John.
High five, fist bump, chest bump.
We are knotted up at 3 after one round. Okay, now the next question, because we love Michael Jordan so much, is also a Michael Jordan question. We haven't gotten to the Michael B. Jordan questions yet. Okay, so this is for you, Scott.
I hope these are better.
Okay, when Michael Jordan made the shot to knock the Cavs out of the playoffs and advance the Bulls, what teammate inbounded the ball to him?
Oh, God.
Who's this for?
This is for Scott.
This is for Scott.
Who inbounded the ball, Scott?
In Cleveland. The game-winning
Hold
shot.
The lifeline, Scott.
Do you want to use the lifeline?
No.
I don't think he's going to get it.
No, I would say,
I hope we have. Do we have the call of this pulled up? Thank God. Thank you, Curtis. I want to hear it again for the 7 zillionth time.
Johnny Red Kirk was crazy.
I'll say BJ.
Oh, my God.
He says BJ Armstrong. He does not use his lifeline. Let's listen and find out.
Ellis has Jordan. Jordan with 2 seconds to go. Puts it up and scores at the buzzer. Michael Jordan has won it for Chicago.
I'll allow Curtis, as his first day as producer for Carmen Harry, to be. It's okay that he didn't pull the hometown Jim Durham, Johnny Red Kirk call.
Johnny Red Kirk goes nuts.
Where Durham starts it out with Sellers to make the inbounds pass.
We can hear Sellers. Let's listen again to the highlight from the very beginning. You can hear Sellers.
Right. Yeah, but so the thing, by the way, you know, to bring it all together with Scott's answer, B.J. Armstrong, the Bulls did trade Brad Sellers to the Seattle Supersonics for their first-round pick number 18 overall, who turned into B.J. Armstrong. So Scott didn't get it correct, but there was a connection to his answer, just for the record.
Scott gets no points.
That's correct.
That's correct. John, you get a chance to take the lead. Good luck to you, sir.
I'll take the lifeline.
I haven't even asked the question yet.
He's the man. He knows it all. Go ahead.
Okay, remember, you can only use him. We only have one more lifeline left with Carm.
Go ahead, Nat. I'll listen first before I take
Show's
off.
Over in kidding. 10 minutes.
When a practice got too heated.
Now this Irish people are funny. Go ahead.
When a practice got too heated, which Bulls teammate did Michael Jordan?
Very good job, John. Yeah, but let's see now. That's
I get extra
correct.
Points because I answered before the question was over. Three
I'll give
points.
You. No, you only get one. But who else did he punch in practice, Harry?
He punched in the face.
I'm Irish.
Was
I know
Mike.
All about the fights, baby.
Punched in the face, Steve Kerr.
Okay. He also wailed on Will Perdue once.
Right. Well,
he was lucky Kerr didn't come after him because Kerr is an expert in you know what.
Not sure, uncomfortable. Let's go next question.
Steve Kerr is the greatest. All right, guys. We have arrived at the Michael B. Jordan questions. It's Michael B. Jordan's birthday. We're playing the Michael Jordan's game.
Yeah, I'll definitely need the lifeline on this one.
Okay, this is for Scott. Scott, in the movie Black Panther, what is the name of the fictional land that they are protecting?
Wakanda?
Going with Wakanda? Correct!
Wow! Wow! Woo! Big pull by Scott and Chicago.
Scott has tied it up. John, you need this answer to keep the lead.
Sounds like a White Sox fan.
In the movie Creed.
Back to Michael Jordan question.
No, this is Michael.
This is B. Jordan guy. I don't know who he is.
Michael B. Jordan's an awesome actor, and my daughter says he's hot, which is bothersome because she's 18. In the movie Creed, Michael B. Jordan plays the son of Apollo Creed. What actress that starred in the most iconic sitcom of the 80s plays Creed's mother?
Lifeline.
Carm.
Wasn't listening. Don't know the answer. Say it. What's the question?
What do you mean you weren't listening?
I was thinking of...
What do you have to do that's more important than our show?
You're talking Jordan. I was thinking about a Jordan game. I wasn't listening. What's the question?
Were you filming a video for FanSided?
Who was Michael B. Jordan's mother in Creed?
Who was Michael B. Jordan's mother in Creed?
The hint was she was the mom on the most iconic sitcom of the 80s.
Oh.
So who is that actress?
Why don't you answer then, John?
Let me ask you a question first. Was it on The Cosby Show?
John.
That does not how it works, John. Go with the answer.
Okay, Lifeline.
You're asking me? Okay. Felicia Rashad, is that what you're saying? Felicia Rashad.
Sound? There you go. Correct. John has the lead by one. Still, two questions left for both of them.
Bill Cosby get royalties for the answer? I don't want to get any royalties.
Show's over in nine minutes.
No. Bill Cosby's family, by the way, not going to visit him in jail.
How about one more question? Let's see what happens here. Go ahead.
Yellow pudding.
Okay, this is for Scott. Scott. For Michael Jordan, it would become known as the flu game. Okay, Michael went for 38 points and came, including the game-winning jumper over Brian Russell. What game in the NBA Finals Series, what number game in the NBA Finals Series was that where Jordan had the flu and he hit the winning jumper over Brian Russell?
You got a lifeline.
Yeah, I'm going to take the lifeline because I know he knows it.
Good choice. That would be game five.
Game five.
Hey, is this dude Googling all the answers?
No, he's got it. I'm just giving him a hard time.
But that was, did you not ask what year that was for?
No, I didn't ask.
Okay, because that was game five, 1997.
Not 98.
Not 98 is last year. It was 97 for the record. We should have that in there if you're bringing up game five. Game five in 98, they lost at home and then had to go back out to Utah when he stripped Malone, came down and hit the last shot.
How much are you enjoying this game?
This guy is almost as impressive as Les Grobstein. I'm going to have these two on Bulls Jeopardy against each other.
That'd be good. Okay, John, you're out of life. Yeah. The bad news is you're out of lifelines. The good news is.
Hey, I'm not afraid. I'm Shawnee, baby. Let's go.
Okay, I love it. All right, remember now, you've got an extra question. Get this right, you put all the pressure.
I'm putting on a war paint right now.
As a freshman, Michael Jordan hit a jumper from the corner for the NCAA championship winning basket. Which team did the Tar Heels beat that night?
Give me a hint.
Give you a hint?
I remember the shot.
I'll give you a hint. It was
colors were the uniforms?
It was a college team.
You don't know who Jordan beat in to win his. Come on, man.
Freshman year.
Yeah,
Let me think.
Legendary.
Right, let's go. You got 5 seconds.
5 seconds.
Name one of the players on the team.
Four.
Nope.
On the opposing team.
Three.
Louisville.
Good guess. It was a good guess, but it was the
Scott. Do you know it?
I was going to say. Georgetown
is correct. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I said Georgetown.
All right, 63-62. So
I said Georgetown first, and then I said Louisville.
Yeah, okay.
No, I don't think so.
No. Where are we at here?
So we're tied, and they each have one question left.
Amy Guth in 7 minutes. Go ahead.
I missed it on purpose.
Okay, here we go. Okay, please, guys, these are both Space Jam questions. Okay.
Lifeline.
You're out of lifelines. Okay, in the movie Space Jam, what fellow...
Grown men do not watch cartoons.
Settle down, John. Yeah,
settle down. We'll put you on hold. In the movie Space Jam, what fellow human being tells Michael and his animated teammates that they don't play defense.
Is this for both of us?
No,
no,
that's
this
for
is
Scott.
For Scott.
Okay, good.
And I have a lifeline, right?
You do.
Scott, you got a lifeline left.
I'll take the lifeline. What the heck?
What man is a strategist? Bill Murray is the answer to that question.
Let's listen and find out.
Yeah, Bill Murray.
Hey! Perhaps I could be of some assistance. That's our fifth guy. Now you get to live up your dream. Let's go. All right.
Need to score 2 points.
Here's how I see it. Doc.
Yes.
You kick it into the girl bunny.
Yeah.
Down in the post. You dish it back out to the guy bunny.
Got
it. You swing around the mic over here. You go to the hole and dominate.
We on defense.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. I don't play defense.
Typical.
All right, you're going to have to listen to Mike on this, guys.
Okay.
Listen up.
Yes, we got it.
Ding, 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 ding. You are correct. Bill Murray is the correct answer. So, Scott, now you need this to force the one question overtime.
John needs this to
force. Sorry, John. John, yep. You need it. Scott has the lead. Yep. John, if you make this, there's overtime. If you miss it, Scott is the winner.
Amy, go within 5 minutes and 30 seconds.
What song, and you cannot go to Carm for a lifeline, what song was featured in the movie Space Jam?
5 seconds.
Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I don't know.
Somewhere Over the Rainbow is...
Let's listen and find out.
Let's not. Aww. John, good effort. We're up against the break. You were awesome. Congratulations. But Scott is our winner. Scott, hang on the line.
Lou Malz.
Lou Malnati's coming to you.
Yeah, baby.
Thank you for playing. We love you both.
Yeah.
Take us out, Curtis.
Thanks, John. I'm leaning on.